Hey, thank you for being here this morning. What a great turnout on a frosty Florida winter morning, huh? And a holiday weekend. What a great turnout. Thanks for being here today. My name is Pastor Rich, and today we're going to be in God's Word, the Bible. Are you ready?
Yes.
Great. If you have a Bible, we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 4. If you don't have one, we provide them for you under the chairs. Feel free to grab one and use one. If you have an app on your phone, feel free to use that as well. I'm continuing a series. We paused for the month of December, did a special series throughout the month of December on the Christ of Christmas. So we're back, resuming our study in the book of Ephesians from now to the end of January. And then starting in February, we're going to take a break and we're going to do another new series. On the first Sunday in February, we're bringing in a creation scientist who's going to be a guest speaker here from Creation International Ministries on the first Sunday in February. And then we're going to use that kind of to segue into a creation series for the entire month of February for something special and something different. Isn't that cool?
Yes.
Yeah, so I'm excited about that. So in the interim, we're going to be back in Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 5 and verse number 6. If you can look at it with me, it says, "One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and where? And in you all," right? When it speaks about one Lord there, the one Lord essentially means this. It means one who takes headship. And I know that we're at the end of the year. Today is December 31st. Can you believe we're almost at 2024? And with a new year upon us, we want to make sure of this. We want to make sure that the Lord is leading our life. We want to make sure that we begin our new year with the divine guidance of God, guiding our thoughts, guiding our actions. Simply put, it's not about the Lord just being your Savior who saved you from the penalty of your sins, but it's about Jesus being the Lord of your life. Amen? And that one Lord that it's speaking about here in Ephesians chapter 4, that one Lord leads us into the next item. If you look with me once again in verse 5, one Lord and then one faith. You see, when we talk about the word faith, we can look at it from different angles. First of all, we have the act of faith. That's the faith that you and I demonstrated, the faith that saved your soul and made you a child of God. Ephesians chapter 2 says that we are saved by grace through faith. Right. But we also have a different kind of faith. We have the faith that a believer has or a believer lives by after he or she is saved. The Apostle Paul said that after we're saved, we should walk by faith, right? And then we have a different kind of faith. We have the faith that can refer to a body of doctrine. You see, that all believers should hold true to. So there's one set of doctrine, by the way, and this doctrine that we have is what we should believe as Christians. It has been revealed to us as the Bible, God's holy word. And this body of doctrine forms the basis for our faith. So, for instance, the Bible teaches us about God. The Bible teaches us about sin, about salvation. It teaches us what we should believe and how we should behave based on what we believe. Amen? So there's one faith. There's one set of doctrinal truth that binds all believers together in the Lord. That's the one faith. And it doesn't mean that we all must believe the same thing about every issue. But let me just mention a few of the non-negotiables, truths that all of us should believe as Christians. Number one, we all should believe that there's one God and he's the creator of the universe. Amen?
Amen.
We all should believe that there's one Savior. He is the Son of God. His name is Jesus. He was born of a virgin. He was without sin. He lived without sin. He died on the cross for sin and for sinners. He was buried. He rose again the third day. He ascended back up to heaven where he sits at the right hand of God. He's awaiting the day that he will return as he said he will. And through communion that we partake of periodically in the church, we remember what he did for us. We believe not only that there's one God, there is one Savior, but believe that there is the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is the one that indwells in believers to enable us to live for God in this world. We need help with that, don't we? We can't do it by ourselves. Something called the flesh kicks in. So we need God's Spirit to help us live for God in this world. We believe that there's one true church. It's the body of Christ. It's made up of believers in Jesus from every tribe, every nation, every kindred, every people of every language. This church one day will be caught up to be with Christ in the air, the Bible says, and we will spend eternity with our Lord and Savior. And we also believe in the Word of God, the Bible. It's inspired by God. It's believed upon in its entirety. It's the sole standard for faith and practice. It's God's word to humankind, and it should be our final authority to go to for the church. And there's many other doctrines, there's many other beliefs that are true and should be believed, but those that I've mentioned are some of the essential truths that must be nailed down in your heart. You must have a strong relationship with the Word of God. You must read it. You must believe it. You must learn it in order to be able to... You guys know it. Good. That's our motto here at Crossroads. Learning the Bible and living the Bible. Right. You know, and as I said, those are so important in our life. That's God's will for your life. And God's will is always possible in our lives. How? Because God's Spirit lives where? In us. And the Lord is with us, that we, the Bible says, may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. Jesus had some brothers and sisters, and one of his half-brothers, his name is Jude. Jude said that we also must contend for our faith. That means defend our faith. You know, we need to get a bulldog grip on our faith and not ever let it go. People will try to deter you from following your faith, from following God's word, and following no faith at all, or following a different kind of faith, a new faith, some new doctrine. But hey, if it's new, it's probably not true. You don't need a new gospel for a new and a modern age. The one you got is perfectly fine, and it will stand strong forever. So beware of anything new. May this pulpit always have a man who stands behind it who will preach the Word of God. Because it's the Word of God that's profitable to you and I. It's profitable to us for doctrine, for correction, and instruction. It's the Word of God that changes lives. It's not an individual like me. We are to keep the faith. And that's why the Apostle Paul, near the end of his life, said these words. He said, listen closely, he said, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I kept the faith. I kept the faith. Paul was faithful to the finish. He was faithful to the faith. And that's really the greatest testimony that you can have, the greatest legacy that you can leave behind, that other people, your kids, your grandkids, your friends, can look back in your life and remember you by, is your faith. I love it when I preach memorial services and funerals, and family members come up, and we had one right before Christmas, and family members testify over and over and over again about this person's faith. That's what will stick more than anything else, is the faith, being faithful to the faith. Look once again with me at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 5, it says one Lord. In addition to that one Lord, it says that one faith, and then it says one baptism. And that word baptism there refers to our union with Jesus Christ, our baptism into him when we are saved. So it does not refer to water baptism. Now, water baptism consists of many different types of modes, depending on what church you go to, what denomination, what religion. You know, there's some pour, some sprinkle, some we immerse. And while immersion is the method that's taught in the Bible, all modes of baptism do share one common shortcoming, and that is this: none of them can save your soul. Water baptism is a means of identification, or all baptism, and I'll explain that. After we're saved, we should get baptized. Why? Because it's a public, outward statement by the believer that they are identifying themselves publicly with the Lord Jesus Christ. So when a person gets baptized, they're telling everybody that witnesses the baptism that they essentially have died to their old life and they've been resurrected to a new life in Christ. It's a moment of public identification. And water baptism is an outward symbol of what happens inwardly when we believe the gospel in when we became saved. You know, sometimes when we teach the baptism class that Cody is talking about, and you have an opportunity to sign up for that, when I teach the class, sometimes I use the illustration of a wedding ring. You know, without the wedding ring, people can look at me and they cannot tell, maybe they can't tell whether or not I'm married. Maybe you can tell some other way, I'm not sure. But by me wearing this wedding ring is a symbol, and this symbol demonstrates that I am married, right? And I talked to them, and I use that as an illustration for baptism. As a Christian, no one will really know or can identify you as being a Christian. But when you get baptized, that outward symbol of baptism is a demonstration to everyone that you are, in fact, saved. So I encourage you, if you've never been baptized before, sign up for that class. Maybe you were baptized as an infant, or a small child, and you really don't remember it. You didn't really know why you were getting baptized. Again, that's another great reason to go to the class and find out more about that. But regardless of the difference in the methods that are used in water baptism, every genuine believer in Jesus Christ experiences one common baptism, and that's the baptism of the Spirit. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 13, the Bible says this. It says, "For by one Spirit," there's that one Spirit, "we are all baptized into one body," that's the body of Christ, "whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, we have been all made to drink into one Spirit." So what that means essentially is this: when a person gives their heart to Jesus, that person is baptized by the Holy Spirit, not into water, but into the body of Christ, that one body. And that happens at the moment of salvation. Some might say, hey, now that you've been saved, you need to receive the baptism of the Spirit. But the thing about that is this, is nowhere in the New Testament is a believer told to seek the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And that's because baptism takes place at the moment of your salvation. And that's why the Bible instructs you this way. It instructs you to walk in the Spirit, yield to the Spirit, be filled with the Spirit, don't grieve the Spirit, don't quench the Spirit. But the point is this: there's a difference, and there's a difference between water baptism and Holy Spirit baptism. And once again, water baptism allows us to identify outwardly and publicly with the Lord Jesus Christ. The baptism of the Spirit, which again all believers share in common, takes place inwardly and allows Jesus to identify himself with us. So the baptism of the Spirit essentially is this: it's Christ in you, the hope of glory, and it enables us to experience his presence, his power, and helps us essentially to live out that one faith that we're talking about for that one Lord. Does that make sense? I hope so. All right. So we have unity because of the Spirit, we have unity because of the Son, and we also have unity because of the Father. Look with me at verse number 6. The Bible says, "One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all." So here, Paul is teaching about God the Father and his involvement. And there's three things I want to show you here. I want to show you about his position, his person, and his power. First, his position. God is God. He is the one God. And this truth that God is one God is the foundational truth of not only biblical Christianity, but also ancient Judaism. The ancient Jews said it this way in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse number 4. They said, "Hear, O Israel, listen to us. The Lord, our God, is one God." And the early church, they also affirmed the oneness of God as well. And another one of Jesus's half-brothers, James, said it this way. He said, hey, if you believe that there's one God, you do well. He said, even the devils believe also. And since the Father is God, he's to be feared, he's to be loved, he's to be believed, worshiped, served, obeyed, honored, glorified, magnified by his creation, by us. His position is that he is God. But in regards to his person, this verse says that he's a father. And this reminds us that this one God is also the Father of all believers. He's our heavenly Father of all of us that are in Christ. He loves us. He cares for us. He protects us. You know, I was thinking, Kathy and I were thinking just this morning, right before Walk Through Bethlehem. And praise the Lord for Walk Through Bethlehem. Amen? Yes. We'll share some exciting news about that with you next Sunday. We're going to have a recap service. But right before Walk Through Bethlehem, I think it was the day before Walk Through Bethlehem, Cody, who heads up Walk Through Bethlehem, he's our outreach and discipleship director, was on visitation. And we do visitation throughout the week. We do home visits. We do hospice visits. We do hospital first-time guest visits. We do a lot of visits. But it was Cody's visitation time, and Cody was out doing a visit, and he was at someone's house, and he was parked. Got out of the car, walked up to the house, and lo and behold, a car came behind him and totally smashed into our church vehicle and totaled it. And by the way, if anybody is inclined to give an extra end-of-the-year gift to help us purchase another vehicle, that would be a blessing. But I was thinking, and Kathy and I were talking about it, you know, that was the day before Walk Through Bethlehem. Cody's the head honcho of Walk Through Bethlehem. Cody's the guy that knows everything that's going on with Walk Through Bethlehem, and he could have easily been in that car when that car was hit and smashed and totaled. But we looked at it as God protecting Cody, and Cody got out of that car at the right time and walked up to that house at the right time, and because of that, praise the Lord, Cody was here for Walk Through Bethlehem, and more importantly, Cody is alive and well. But God protects us, and God provides for us. You know, he hears our prayers. And one of the greatest truths in the Bible is this from 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. It says, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called the sons of God, the children of God. So we're all members of the same body, the body of Christ. We have the same Father. Heavenly Father, we share a unity that transcends every human relationship, every human problem, every human struggle that we face. We share the same Father. And folks, that makes us, whether you like it or not, makes us family. So what I want you to do is I want you to turn to the person on your right and say, hey, bro, or hey, sis. And then do the same thing. Turn to the left and do the same thing. Hey, the fatherhood that we're talking about here, the one Father, the fatherhood of God is the basis of our unity as believers in the body of Christ. Amen? Teammates of the famous baseball player Willie Stargell of the Pittsburgh Pirates baseball team, they called him Pops. There's a picture of Pops. And they called him Pops because of his leadership both on and off the field. In 1979, when Stargell led the Pittsburgh Pirates to their second World Series title, the team developed this nickname. They were called the Family because of their close relationship. And Stargell said these words. He said, we won, we lived, and we enjoyed as one. We molded together dozens of different individuals into one working force. We are products of different races. We're raised in different income brackets. But in the clubhouse and on the field, we were one. And doesn't that describe this passage of us today as believers in Jesus as being one? You know, when God's family assembles in heaven, it will include believers out of every tribe, every tongue, every people, and every nation. And as Christians, we are incredibly diverse. We are incredibly different, but we are family. Our Heavenly Father calls us to lay aside all prejudice, all pride, all self-interest towards accomplishing things together for Him. Amen? Create unity. He's able to create unity among us amidst all the diversity that we have. And because of our unity as a church, God did some incredible things in 2023 in and through Crossroads. Can I share some of that with you? I wanted to do in this service today a little bit of a year in review, really to glorify God and what He has done in and through our church this year. And again, besides all the ministries and everything that we do in this church through our people on a regular weekly basis, you know, I don't want to discount that because this church operates on a daily and weekly basis, really with the army of volunteers that we have, especially that do the work of the ministry. But besides all that, God did some incredible things in 2023. First of all, you elected two brand new deacons that you are going to see installed next Sunday here at church, Mike Kesey and Mike Odgers. Amen. And you also got a new pastor. In 2023, over 400 people on this property, on these grounds, over 400 people prayed to receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. In 2023, we had 603 local people come to our church service for the first time. We have first-time guests that come every week. In 2023, we hired a new youth director, Angel Castro, who has turned our youth group upside down for Jesus, and discipleship. Discipleship is taking place, unlike I've ever seen before. We hired a new tech director and a new music minister, and aren't they doing an incredible job? So many of you as volunteers, that you have continued to serve the Lord in our church. I thank you for that. You serve in various capacities, and many new people have caught the vision, and they've stepped up to serve as well, and I'm so thankful for that. In 2023, we started several new ministries. We started a new widows group and also a Helping Hands ministry to help widows and seniors. In 2023, we started a new ministry called Deliverance to help people overcome addictions and strongholds in their life, and many people have come to that ministry not only for help, but several of them have come and gotten saved. In 2023, we did a brand new outreach event for Easter called Journey to the Cross. We wanted to do something different where the gospel was shared, and it was shared to all those who came to this church for that outreach for Easter. In 2023, several key ministries and events were brought back. We had our first men's conference and women's conference in years. We had a parent baby dedication service, our first one in years. In 2023, we had our first Missions Ephesus Month in years, where we heard from several of our missionaries here in person. I lost my place. In 2023, we brought back our ministry for our young single adults because we know how vital the Word of God is and teaching and modeling is in their lives. In 2023, we gave all of our employees a raise, and all of our missionaries that we support a much-needed raise. It was their first raise in years. In 2023, we financially helped struggling churches and gave several one-time love offerings to other ministries. We also supported financially several local organizations that fight against poverty, that feed the hungry, that help stop the practice of abortion. We also came along and supported our first responders, our military, our law enforcement, and our teachers. We also financially supported ministries that help the homeless and help those that are struggling financially, but not only help them monetarily, but also teach them how to build a budget and become self-sufficient. In addition, our coffee house and our indoor playground are open during the week to the public to be a blessing to them, to be a safe place to be an introduction to the church, and we've seen many families come as a result of that. In 2023, we did something new in the month of June called Impact Daytona, and where groups of people from our church took Christ into our community. In 2023, we offered free sign language classes. In 2023, you contributed for us to financially help those on the west coast of Florida who were hit hard by the hurricane. In 2023, you financially gave so we in turn could give $50,000 more just for worldwide Bible translation projects and bringing our total giving to Wycliffe to over $300,000. In 2023, you gave so we could put three new roofs on three of our buildings here on the property. And also you contributed to all the beautiful landscaping for us to be a testimony to all those who come and see us be a good stewards of the property that we have here at Crossroads. In 2023, we made special days and times of the year such as Memorial Day, Veterans Day, and Communion even more special. In 2023, we had what we call back-to-school blessings, where you supplied numerous teachers here locally with supplies for their classrooms. In 2023, Crossroads took our first ever church trip to Israel, where several people and others in the larger group were baptized in the Jordan River. In 2023, on Christmas Eve, we had one of our highest one-day attendance totals in our church's history. And in 2023, for the first time in 4 years, we brought back Walk Through Bethlehem. You all came together, and the results included with Thursday, our opening day, being the largest opening day attendance in Walk Through Bethlehem history. During those 3 days we had it, thousands of people came. They heard the gospel, and many of them raised their hand in the cross and tomb scene, testifying for the first time in their life that they prayed to receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. And that's what it's all about. And the good news is this, we're not done yet. We're just getting started. We've got some more great news, some new and exciting things that we're going to share with you after the year. And folks, if all these things I mentioned don't get you excited, they don't get you on fire for Jesus and what he's doing here at Crossroads, then your wood is just wet. I'm sorry about my emotions, but reflecting on everything that God has accomplished in and through you in this church, this year is overwhelming to me to see what God has done. But that's what happens. That's what happens when we share our faith. That's what happens when we believe. That's what happens when we invite others to church. That's what happens when we have faith. That's what happens when we're serving. That's what happens when we're financially giving. That's what happens when we are connected to a small group and developing godly friendships. You know, and none of those things that I've mentioned, you know, all those things I mentioned, I should say, do benefit us. But when we do those things, it takes the focus off us, and it really shows how it can benefit other people. It shows us how we can overcome the problems in our life because of what Christ is doing. You see, I think this is what God meant when the Apostle Paul wrote these words. He said, "Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask, even above all that we think." How? "According to the power that worketh in us." It's his power. And that's what we're talking about here in verse number 6. We're talking about God's position, his person, and finally his power. Look with me at verse number 6 one more time. It says, "One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all." And that last statement there testifies to this fact that God is actively at work and reminds us that God is actively at work in our lives. God is above all. No power can overcome him. No one and nothing is greater than our God. I love it when we sing, "How great is our God." Our God is through all, and that means that God is working in all things to accomplish his eternal purposes. I know sometimes we might question things, and we might think, "Why is this happening in my life, God?" Why am I having to deal with this sickness? Why am I having to deal with this financial problem? Why am I having to deal with, you know, my kids going way? I mean, why am I having to deal with this at work or at church? But then we have to remind ourselves of this truth that God knows exactly what he's doing. He knows where he's going. Yes, we have free will, but God has a plan that will culminate in his eternal purposes being perfectly fulfilled. Our God is in you all, the Bible says. And we know that God's Holy Spirit dwells in us. To sum it up, let me say this. We are God created, we are God loved, we are God saved, we are God sustained, we are God filled, and we are God blessed. Amen? Amen. If any people in the history of our world had any basis for unity, it's the church. One Father, God, has created one family. One Son, Jesus, has given us one faith, one hope, one baptism, and one Spirit has created one body. We're all different, but we all serve the same Lord, and we've accomplished so much for him this year. We are members of the same family. We are all indwelt by the same Holy Spirit, and we are all headed to the same heaven. Therefore, we must do everything in our power in God working through us to serve together, to make a difference in Daytona Beach for Jesus Christ. God's plan is worth following. God's cause is worth making your cause because it will have a lasting and eternal impact, and you can be a part of that, something bigger than yourself. You know, I can come up here and I can preach. We can preach, but it's really our love for one another and our unity in the Spirit that proclaims our uniqueness to a lost world. And we've got to make sure that all of us have that love and unity, because it demonstrates the truth. And it demonstrates the truth that we're real and that God is working in and through us. Amen? Amen. So with our heads bowed and with our eyes closed, during this time of invitation and reflection, I invite you to look into your heart, and I invite you to ask yourself this question: am I doing all that I can to allow God's power to work in me, to accomplish his will in my life and in the life of my church? May that be your heart's desire here this morning. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, I invite you to come to Jesus Christ. If you need Jesus, you come and see us after the service, and we would be happy to have a talk with you and show you how Jesus can be your Savior, but also be the Lord of your life leading into 2024. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this time together and all that you've done and all that you continue to do in our lives and also through the life of our church. We are forever grateful and forever thankful. You are a great God, and Lord, we love you so much for loving us. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.